Our Bible this evening, our Bible reading is found in Matthew chapter 14, reading verses 13 through to verse 22. Actually, it's verse 21, but if you've got an extra verse in your Bible, we'll come and see later on what it is. So, Matthew 14, commencing at verse 13. And you'll see just before this, just to, as we lead into this, the passage, the verses before that is the account of John the Baptist being taken to prison and being beheaded. And so in verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by a boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and was satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now Chris will come and give us the sermon based on that passage.
Here we are. I'm sure everybody here has heard a million sermons on this, and you think, oh, here we go, Sunday school story out again, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, what are we going to hear about this time, what's Chris going to bring? Oh, I'm just going to switch off and have a sleep, it's a bit rainy, it's been a long day. But actually, that's the amazing thing about God's word, that we can come to it, and it could be a story we've heard a million times over, and actually God still will speak to us, he'll still challenge us, he'll still encourage us, he'll still equip us from the same story. So, with that in mind, we shall begin. And it's interesting that actually last time I preached with David, we looked at that need for self-care. And this verse starts the same, that actually, as Oliver quite rightly pointed out, Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, and he's like, "I need some time out. But actually, I'm not going to have a nice walk up the hill, because I know what will happen. I'm not going to have a wander into the countryside or go to the next village," because he knew what would happen. He knew if he didn't go somewhere remote where people couldn't get to him, people would get to him. So he took a boat and went, "You know what, I'm just going to have some me time to deal with the grief," because ultimately Jesus was God. He was fully God and fully man. And as much as I don't understand that, people, the super mature Christians like Graham and Oliver, will probably haven't fully grasped what that means. But actually, for us, it should be a massive encouragement that Jesus, who fully is God, grieves just like us. He feels that pain. He realized he needed to take that time out and just go, I just need some my own time. Something that he knew was going to happen before the start of time. He knew that John was going to be beheaded and how he was going to be beheaded and etc. etc. But actually he went, "When this happens, I need to take time out. I need to just spend this time reflecting and healing, because it hurts. Because it hurt him, because his friend, who he loved, had obviously been beheaded in such a horrible way." And so he goes away on his boat, privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowd followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. And now you might be thinking, well, this is all right for Jesus, isn't it? Like, wherever Jesus goes, big crowds. Here we are. I nearly forgot what year it was. 2023, Hardwick. It's a Sunday night. There's a lot of us away. Well, on Boise camp. And there's more people in here than I was thinking there was. But we haven't got a big crowd, like, knocking down the door going, oh, we need to come in. We need to come to church. We don't see that nowadays, do we, with churches? We don't see this reaction. And that's because, as humans, over time, we've just learnt of new ways to do it ourselves. And like, as I've said before, I work in mental health. I help run a secular mental health group on a Monday. And I can guarantee that I have men coming into that group and they go, I've tried this, none of this hasn't worked. And if I say, you need Jesus, where would Jesus go? Bottom of the list. We'll try anything else. Why? Because we want to do it ourselves. And actually, as Matt said a couple of weeks ago, cultural wise, that's the norm. We can heal ourselves. We can do it ourselves. But actually, we don't need Jesus. We can do it ourselves. And like we were learning, Timothy, about the tickling ears, people would much rather go off and have their ears tickled than being here, listening to me waffle on about Jesus and the amazing power that he has. But every Christian in here, I'm sure I could ask every single one of you and say, was becoming a Christian the best thing you've ever done? And I would say, yes. Would I change my mind? Given the choice, no chance. Absolutely no chance. But actually, for a non-Christian, we go, I want to do it myself. I don't want to give control over to God. I don't want to follow Jesus. I'll do it myself. I'm master and commander of my own destiny. And so we might think, actually, even though the Bible says the fields are white with harvest, it might not seem that. All of us go to work in different places, and you might be thinking, oh, you don't know Bob. Oh, man, Bob, he has my ear. Are you still a Christian? What about this? Sort of thing. Oh, you don't know. I'm trying to think of names that people that aren't in here. Gladys. I don't know. If there's a Gladys in here, I apologize. Do you know what I mean? We all know people like that who are at work or in our social groups who are just like, oh, every time I try and tell that person about Jesus, just it throw it back in your face. And as soon as I mess up, they're the first person to jump down my throat. But actually, we don't know what's going on in people's lives. Sort of thing. And I've definitely found, going back to the sports chaplaincy, I can go into work and I can feel rubbish. And I can have had a day and I just think nothing happened there. And then somebody will come to me and go, oh, this happened. I just wondered what the Christian response is to this, how you view this. And then I can have a great conversation. Because ultimately God is at work in the background. And at times we miss it. But we need to be encouraged that God, that those fields out there, the harvest is white, it's ready. And that just as the song was singing, and that we need to be a good witness for God wherever he sends us, wherever that is. So when we think of these, oh, Jesus, he was all right. He was the Son of God and he got followed by all these people. Everybody was really hungry. There's hungry people out there and we'll meet them. We just need to be open and ready and willing to be used by God. So as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. So they'd been there a while. And one thing I like about this is that the disciples were on the ball. And what I mean by that is you just go, wow, we're on this like day conference with Jesus sort of thing. It's amazing. It's fantastic. And we can get lost in the emotion. I'm sure we've all been, a lot of us have been to like conferences and events and just gone, this is fantastic, blah, 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 and it just, you just enjoy it. But these guys were like, wait a minute. This is great. We're having a great time here. Loads of people have come. You can see what Jesus is saying is really affecting people. People are being healed. It's fantastic. But actually, there's some practicalities here that need sorting out. These people have come a long way. We're in the middle of like nowhere. There's no Tesco's. There's no Asda. They're getting hungry, and there's a lot of people here. And we need to get them fed. We need to look after them. So they come to Jesus and say, look, this is a remote place. Send the crowds away so that they go to the village and buy themselves some food. Now, that is not an unusual request. There's nothing wrong with that request. That makes sense. That is a completely fine request. Makes complete sense. It wasn't like a Peter foot in the mouth thing. They were being very reasonable and just saying, look, the circumstances are, these guys are hungry. We've been here all day. There's an awful lot of these people here. They're getting hungry. We need to get them food. Just send them away. But actually, God already knew what was going on. And God already knew the situation. And God knew what he was going to do and who he was going to use to do it. Which is brilliant. To think that actually it said that mother, oh, give that little kid 5 loaves and 2 fish today because I'm going to use that kid to do a miracle and show my power. So when you're packing your kid's packed lunch, you never know what's going to happen to you, sort of thing. God can use anybody and anything, and it's fantastic. And we should be encouraged by that. And it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. And we might think, well, I'm just nominal in my job or who I'm seeing, but actually God, as long as we're open, God can use us, and God wants to use us, because we are a witness, we are his handiwork, we are his mouthpiece and hands and feet in those places. So Jesus replies, they don't need to go away, you give them something to eat. So at this point, I'm sure the disciples were looking at each other going, whoa, wait a minute. Did you bring a packed lunch? Did you? You got anything? How much money have you got? They were counting the resources, and we've all done that. I've been on many PCCs, church meetings, things like this, where we count the resources and we go, oh, we want to do this mission and we want to do this and we want to, but actually we go, oh, well, we haven't got this or blah, blah, blah. It's natural. But actually, God at times calls us out of the natural into the faith-driven perspective, because God was showing them that actually it wasn't about what they had, it was about what he had. It was about their trust in him and who he is and what his nature is. So they'd done a little tally. They'd gone round, asked all the people. So obviously 5,000 men plus women and children. You think, oh, they might get some good food here. Might be all right. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So I can just imagine, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Like there, we were hoping for more, Jesus, but this is all we've got. Jesus, how often, I know I've done that, when Jesus has asked me to do stuff, and go, like Moses, go and talk to these people, yeah, I can't do that, I can't talk to Pharaoh, who are you talking to? I can't even talk. Sort of thing, well, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. God knows what you've got, way more than you do. And actually, it's about trusting him, not trusting yourself. And realizing that actually, yes, it's challenging. It's going to push you. It's going to stretch your faith. But actually, he's dependable. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to just make a fool of you. He's gonna blow your mind. He is going to amaze you at what he can do. Because he can do miracles through you. You've just got to trust in him. So Jesus says, that's fine, bring them to me. We're like, oh, all right then. He said, and he told the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, he gave thanks, broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. So, what we see here is a God of abundance. That actually, there was a need. It was a massive need. It was a huge need. But actually, credit to the disciples. They'd seen the need. They were ahead of the game. They were like, there's a massive need here that we can't fill. Jesus will go for the earthly thing. You go and send them away. That'll work. That makes sense. God went, no, it's fine. You give them something to eat. So like, right, okay. We'll have a count up. Let's see what we've got. Oh, 5 loaves, 2 fish. How small a portion can we give each everybody? Sort of thing. But actually, even that small amount, God used to do amazing things. And what I love about this is not that God just goes, I'm the God of enough. He didn't go, oh, they had a nice snack. It doesn't say they had a nice snack and were fulfilled and like were done for a couple of hours. They all ate and were satisfied. Just remember, these guys had been there all day. He'd gone out in the morning. They'd come and followed him. He'd come back at some point. I'm not gonna say when. Do you know what I mean? Like late morning, possibly lunchtime. Then they'd had this meeting. It was getting on at evening, so they'd been out there a while. So I don't know about you, I'd have been super hungry at that point. Like I'd have been like, whoa, I'm getting hungry. I need some food. So it wasn't like, oh, have a buffet lunch. It's just nibbles. It was eat and be satisfied. He'd given them enough to be satisfied with. But actually, did God stop there? Was that it? He'd satisfied. He'd met their need. No, he didn't. He had enough for 12 basketfuls worth. That actually, God is the God of the abundance. That God is wants to meet our needs and the needs of those outside. But actually, he wants to go over and above. God is a God of abundance. And how often, actually, do we, and this is definitely pointing at me, do I actually believe that is God? That is the nature of God, that God actually does want to meet the my needs, meet the needs of the people that we come across. Not just meet them, but actually abundantly, just to show how loving, how merciful, how gracious he is. Just like Jesus went over and above with what he did for us by dying on the cross, it shows that God is not a God who will just do the bare minimum. God will always go over and above for us. He will always show his love for us in abundance. That he wants to bless us. Now, nowadays we would think, well, does that mean I'm going to get a six-room house with a Ferrari and a 90-inch TV and like all my kids are going to be so well-behaved and they're all going to uni and they're going to be like doctors and scientists and footballers and blah, blah, blah. No, because that's looking at it through the world's eyes. We need to look at it, God, through the Bible's eyes and what the Bible tells us. That actually, he wants to bless us. He wants to be with us in everything. That actually, when life gets tough, when life hits you hard, when we grieve, when that curveball comes, not only will Jesus be there grieving with us as he shares in that pain, because he's felt it himself, but also that he wants to bless us and he is with us and he is leading us and he is guiding us through all of it. So what I want you to remember when you're thinking about this story and those five loaves and two fish, that God is for you. That God wants to bless you. And if you're not a Christian, that actually God understands what you're going through. That God has been there. That God has grieved and God is willing to meet needs. And that you cannot do it yourself. There is no way on this earth that you can do it yourself. That you can fully repair yourself and be in a place to make yourself right with God without God's help. And through God's help, we have the promise of John 10:10, that as Jesus said, He came to give life and life in abundance. And actually, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that through that, it's those lies that tell us we are good enough. We can do it ourselves. But actually, Jesus came to give life and life in abundance. And not life just to satisfy, but actually life in abundance. And that He wants to bless us. So I want to bless you though, encourage those who are going through a rough time. Know that He is with you. He is beside you. He has walked ahead of you. He knows the path. And He will not let you go. And for those who do not believe, come to Him. For He will never let you down. And He will give you everything you need.